One Man Revolution, Volume 3, Episode 129. We're back here again for another week. It is the One Man Revolution podcast. Things may sound slightly different as the revolutionary is currently abroad. So I am the comrade filling in for him. We are joined by...
The Wanderer.
And we're thirsty.
Yeah, I'm very proud of the revolutionary for finally going through with his gender reassignment, coming abroad. Cheers to that. Took a lot of courage.
Cheers.
I think it was that a Snapchat filter that they did. Made a really pretty
really
woman.
Really convinced him. Yeah.
So, good job.
We're proud of you, brother, sister.
But like always, maybe. Nothing really happened.
Oh.
Something did happen.
What happened?
My ways changed to Cookie Monster. It's great.
Oh,
he loves cookies still. He gives great directions. Very humorous. And also tells me things in kilometers and miles. Just switches arbitrarily. I verified it.
Nice.
He does say kilometer.
So I'm curious, does that mean that the unit, that the numbers change appropriate to the unit that he arbitrarily selects?
No. I don't even know if what he's telling me is a kilometer is an actual kilometer. Do you know how many kilometers or how many miles is a kilometer?
1.6 kilometers to the mile.
No, I need reverse. Come on.
It's 5/8 of a mile to a kilometer.
Point
0.67? No, less than that. 0.625, something like that. Anyway, math.
Okay, so yeah, I think that probably works because he always says it where it's like less than a quarter, like around a half a mile.
Does anybody visually know what a quarter of a mile actually looks like on a straight road?
I don't. I have very bad depth
because
perception,
I was gonna
though.
Say, like, but like nobody really knows what that point of reference looks like because I know like it's a circle of a track at a high school, but I don't know what that looks like in a straight line.
And sometimes there's hills.
Well, I was going to say, so I don't think the distance that they're telling you means anything other than, hey, soon.
Yeah. It's but I didn't know what that is. I'm like, what's a kilometer? And I look down. I'm like, oh, is that like 0.6 miles something? What's going on?
Yeah, pretty much.
What's going on, monster of cookies? So that happened this week.
That is a thing that happened. Unlike in Iran where nothing happened.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Thank God.
Yeah. Thank Christ for that. So we've got that. We've got the GOP making sure nothing else happens. We've got the Democrats preparing for
nothing
their,
to happen.
Their debate, right?
I am excited about that. It seems like a pretty good matchup. I do want to watch both of them.
They have so many people.
Maybe we can like live tweet it.
Oh, that'd be good.
That would be great.
No, that'd be great.
So the Democratic
field is so big this time around. They're splitting the initial debate into two nights of 10 people per debate, which is insanity.
Well, they did that last time too. But they had like one strong debate and one weak one.
Which, yeah. So I don't know the actual schedule, but night one is the more fringe candidates and night two is all the heavy hitters.
No.
Yeah.
No, they are supposedly equally distributed between both and they kind of are. There's like probably two people that you want to see that are on like the first night and then the second night is only like one person that you really want to hear because that's the only person you've heard of to get
Wait,
in the debate
in the
you had
night?
To poll over 1%. Yes.
So the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, decided these rules on how you qualify to
be on
television.
They junked it up so badly last time.
Well, I don't know that they've done much better. But you have to have, in three independent polls, you have to poll 1% or better from the people.
See? Just such a little.
And, slash or, you have to have, I think, 65,000 individual donors.
That equate to a certain amount. No,
from a minimum of like 15 states or something like that. So it's a wild requirement, not for the mainstream people, because the mainstream guys, they're fine, but the small fry, if you will. They're having more of an issue.
If they're spending all this money to put on a show, they want to make sure some people tune into it by knowing who you are first.
It's all, you know what? I'm really curious to see what kind of commercials we get at halftime. This should be...
Huh. That will be interesting. Is it going to be like...
All the political ads.
I know. I don't think anybody really has enough money to afford them yet. Plus, I'm like, is it going to be a mix of like weird old people medications plus like DeVry? Trying to get like young people to go back to school or something. I don't.
We're going
to
see Trump University ads.
No, also, I'm pretty sure neither DeVry or Trump University exist anymore.
Probably. Who knows? But it's a mess. I mean, we're a year and a half out, and it's already kicked off. Okay, here we go. So June the 26th and June the 27th, which is Wednesday and Thursday of this coming week. Day one is going to be – yeah, okay. All right. So you got Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, Beto O'Rourke, Tulsi Gabbard, Julian Castro, who I want just so we have President Castro. I just want that. And a couple of others in there. And then day two is Joe Biden, Bernie – Kamala Harris, Mayor Pete, and a couple of others in there.
See, so I feel like, okay, so there's like five people you want to see in the first one, again, a couple you want to see in the second.
Yeah.
They did a good job, as good a job as they really could have, I think, distributing the power, like the heavy hitters in that.
I agree.
But there's a few names I vaguely recognize that I want to see because I don't know anything about them. I'm not, I forget to Google people a lot. I didn't write it on a post-it note. It's not attached to my laptop. So this is a good time to also see how they compare. And now, since we have TV, we care what people look like and how they speak and how articulate they are, what we used to.
I was going
to
say, I think that was the old format of debate judgment. I think the new format of debate judgment is how viral can you become.
No, let's not perpetuate that. That's bad.
I think that's true, though. It's not a good thing, but I think that's where we are now. I think that's what people watch for. Because I guarantee you the vast majority of people who care about this won't actually watch the debates. They'll check on the news and they'll check on Facebook and Reddit and Twitter the next day for those interesting 20 to 40 second clips.
Well, those aren't the people that really care about this, though. I think you've got it reversed. That the people that care are going to watch the debates, and the people that keep forgetting to Google that one name that seems kind of familiar that you think you might know one item from their platform, they're going to look for those sound bites, which is kind of what got us in trouble before.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, to that point, it's the second group of people that scares me because they still vote.
But I also think as soon as somebody does that and tries, like, if you think, oh, they're just trying to intentionally go viral, they're trying to be President Trump, you're going to get that. And they're going to be like, oh, and they're doing such a bad job of it. Like, nobody – I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to be our president.
No.
He's not good.
We don't want any form of repetition of what we currently have.
No. Another woman has come forward saying that he like sexually assaulted or raped her. Like, can we not be our president right now? Like, let's not try to emulate that.
It's amazing.
He's not a good role model.
It's amazing to me how many women have come forward publicly to make those kinds of declarations against the president.
And who had come forward before.
And how it doesn't matter.
It didn't matter before he was president. It doesn't matter now. It's a little ridiculous that somebody with so many accusations against them could have even made it this far.
Yeah, it's insane.
But that's kind of what... Oh, he's not a career politician. That's what his base wanted, is somebody outside the box. Somebody who's more like them. Great base. I'm glad you have somebody that's more like you. Also, please don't come near me.
stay in your rust belts.
Yeah, I do not consent.
No, what I think. Okay, so you've brought up like three thoughts in my mind here. What you said most recently, what you just said, kind of reiterates a conclusion that I came to earlier this week, which is the president's overwhelming, I guess, selling point of himself to his base.
Yes,
is nothing more than he pisses us off.
Yes.
All us dirty libtards and conspiracy theorists and whatever, he pisses us off. And his base knows that.
I think there was an article about that earlier.
Don't exist to want to fix things. They exist to want to feel superior to the people they're beating. And what they're beating are the progressives in this country, the people who want to actually fix something.
Yes.
And that's all they want. And it's really disturbing.
Wow, I agree with you a lot on this subject. What? Let's put it on the calendar.
That's a first.
Wanda agrees with the comrade. Yes. No, because you're right. They're supporting things not necessarily because they agree with them so much as like they're like, we're winning. We're right. winning. We're better than you. We're better than you because we're winning. And we're winning because we're better than you.
Yep.
Ha. That's you don't like logic. Us. You're angry because you're losing. Not that you're angry with us because we're making bad choices. Mm-hmm. No, it's like, you're a sore loser. We're winning. You don't like it. We had to deal with your BS for 8 years. Now you're going to have to deal with ours.
Right. Right.
And that's also not fair because we also dealt with their BS for 4 years when they did nothing and stalled our government, which is seven. Still happening.
Seven.
Seven.
Yeah. 7 years.
Not just four. It was seven?
Yeah.
Maybe six?
6 years? Whatever.
The first years?
Yeah. So the first 2 years of President Obama's term, the Democrats had some level of control in Congress. And they lost it after that. So we had the Republicans just doing nothing for the back three quarters of President Obama and now all of President Trump.
But they also couldn't get anything done either.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
no,
they were being stalled. Nobody. Yeah,
they existed to stop things getting done.
Yeah.
So.
And they still haven't done anything.
Before we move on.
Where's your health care now?
underfunded. Before we move on from the Democratic debates, I want to ask you a couple of questions because I think there's a couple of things happening this week that really captured a lot of attention. Number one, Mayor Pete.
Yes.
Pete Buttigieg, mayor of some town in Indiana. I forget which one because I also don't Google as often as I should. There has been a bit of a crisis in his hometown in which a white police officer shot a black man, killed him. And there's been a lot of outrage in the town for the circumstances surrounding it, which I'll be honest, I haven't done a lot of reading into this week, so I don't know a lot of the details. But I can tell you that there's been a lot of negative reporting regarding Mayor Pete and his response, not only to the family, but to the black community in his town. Do you know anything about that? Did you have any opinions on that?
No, and I am bad at multitasking, so I didn't hear half of what you said.
Fair enough.
Somebody said our volume was low, and I was trying to fix that. I don't know what that means at all. I was trying to figure out if it was specific or if it was everybody's.
It just means
so a black person got shot in Mayor Pete's town?
Yeah.
Did Mayor Pete do it?
No.
Okay. A cop did it.
Yes. So a white cop shot a black man in South Bend, Indiana.
Was it in the back?
Shoot him in the back. I have no idea. Let's see here.
What day of the week was this? 2 a.m. on a Sunday?
I couldn't possibly tell you. I'm Googling this as we go, so this is making for great radio.
I'm a fan of this. So in general, I don't like it when anybody gets shot by the police.
Right.
I don't like it when that extreme action seems to need to be taken. Right. Indiana in itself is pretty Republican, so it could have been some guy in drag. And this officer got out of church, and he didn't like it very much. So there's that. I don't think it was that. I'm assuming that the police officer has lots of training and is a rational individual. So crime is bad?
Well, no. It's more that there was a couple of issues with this. It's number one, it follows in the trend of the reportings we've seen this year and the years previous of an overwhelming amount of white police officers shooting black men in what turns out to be largely indefensible circumstances for the conclusion that they come to. In this case, the victim, Eric Jack Logan, was killed this past Sunday after somebody called the police to report a suspicious person going through cars. A police officer confronted Mr. Logan in a vehicle at the apartment building, and the man apparently got out of the vehicle and approached the police officer with a knife raised, at which the police officer opened fire. Now, that's a report from Time magazine from the 17th of June. So it's very possible that this was justified. Yeah. However, the police officer was not wearing his body cam.
Okay, so that's bad. You were either doing it because you were trying to get away with something, or you're saying you weren't wearing it because you specifically did something to make sure you weren't being recorded in your actions. Mm-hmm. Either way, that's bad.
Right.
I want to verify that a knife was actually raised. Also, how close was the guy? Because Knives got to be pretty close.
Yeah, especially if you got a gun.
Yeah, most pocket knives are really bad throwing knives.
Right.
I feel like it would take a lot. Like, training needs to be more. I always just try to think of this as an issue with training in the end and not somebody was racist. Because if you're by yourself, yeah, somebody's coming after you. Mm-hmm. He was black, so he's probably a really good sprinter. Damn, you're not even calling me out on my subtle racism.
No, because I'm reading and trying to listen at the same time.
Oh, so you do the same thing I do.
So I think it's more in this circumstance. I don't disagree with your point about training. I think that's an important thing. I think – And of course, it's all city by city, and neither of us have any experience in police officering. But I think that there needs to be consequences for police officers not wearing body
cams. Yes. From the information I have, that's the only consequence I would call for against him right now, because I'm going to pull Sherlock Holmes and say I don't have enough facts.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Like, this is another situation where all we have is a singular report from the man involved. Mm-hmm. There's no other witnesses. There's no other evidence of any kind. All we have is the police officer's testimony. Now, of course, there is the classic former coworkers have cited that he made racist comments in the past, kind of reporting.
Well, and that's if the victim was shot in the back, then you know he's a liar. So it's even so, like when you have no way to defend yourself. Like the one thing that was supposed to exonerate you in these sort of circumstances doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So that's his main fault, and that's going to bring up a lot of uproar. I'll be surprised if protests will always start up again, but it's...
Right. Now, I do want to give Mayor Pete one benefit of the doubt here, one positive.
Well, he didn't shoot the guy, so...
Number one, he didn't shoot the guy because he wasn't in the state. Number two, he went out of his way to cancel some very major fundraising and PR campaign aspects to go back home, as he is still mayor, to deal with it, which you can make the argument he doesn't have a choice. That is his job, and yes, you're right, but at the same time... He did do it, and he did it without hesitation. He immediately went back home to take care of what needs to get done.
The fact that he's still doing his job when he's pursuing another one, because I know a lot of people that towards the end of one career and the beginning of starting another just stop giving a shit.
Yeah, they kind of zone out. They kind of tone out a little bit.
So I'm glad he's still trying to do his job when he should be.
And then the other issue that kind of came up this week that is similarly racially related. Former VP Joe Biden had a bit of a rough week in the news. And this one took a bit of digging for me to kind of figure out some of the elements of it. But long story short, somebody called for Joe Biden to apologize for his past comments and basically character endorsements of former Senator James Eastland of Mississippi.
Were they really character endorsements? I've only seen like one quote from what people are referencing.
And this is a similar situation, I think, where things are being pulled out of context, and it did happen a long time in the past. But when you do a little bit of digging into who James Eastland really is, or was, I should say, it starts to look pretty funky. James Eastland was a Dixiecrat who served in office in the Senate for Mississippi from 57 to 78. He was known as the voice of the White South.
Okay.
He was a pretty well, I guess, he was well known for being a very racist and openly racist person. And Joe Biden is on the record as having said in a number of occasions that he worked very well with Senator Eastland, and it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I understand from a politicking standpoint, Biden was known for being very good at reaching across the aisle and bringing people together to get things done. From that standpoint, sure, doing your job, fine. But there's a point at which it kind of crosses the border from he was just very good at getting this person to work with him to what's going on there? Why are we okay with this? Did you see any of that this week at all?
No.
Fair.
How's our live stream doing right now? Because something sketchy just popped up on mine. Cool.
No, it's flickering like it normally does.
Oh, I was like, Facebook. That was just mine personally. That went to some sketch video.
No, it's that's how Facebook do.
What?
Yeah.
That is so weird. Why is Facebook trying to get me to like spam myself? like it's like, share this video. I'm like, I'm not sharing that.
I think one episode, one of these live recordings a few months back, like Facebook put ads in it.
That's not.
Yeah, it was super weird.
So that is, it's an article I bookmarked earlier this week or yesterday or today, and then I read about it today. I'm going to say one in the sense that, yes, you need to work with everybody, like, you need to work with your peers. Mm-hmm. Whether you like them or not, you need to try your best to put away some of your differences to get legislation passed.
Right.
If you don't, that's when you stalemate. So the things you can agree on, if you focus on those and get them done, that's all right. I wouldn't try to be his friend. I'd rather be known as being willing to work with somebody, and also maybe being really annoying at constantly trying to get them to change their mind about being racist.
Right, right. Yeah, it...
And I can understand why Biden would pull that up, being like, hey, I'm willing to work with the opposition, because when you're not... nothing gets done.
Right.
And I would try to take it as that. I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, he was a great man, because he doesn't seem to be a great man. Like, he might have been good at his job,
right,
which is different, but when his job is to perpetuate racist ideas because that's what his constituents want, that doesn't make you a good man.
Nope. Nope.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just like assassins can be great at their job, they're not good people.
Doesn't make you a good person.
Yeah.
He was very successful. He's a brilliant gambler, and then he shot up the whole place in Vegas.
That's really all I have. Like, I'd rather not, like, this is, seems like such a small thing, and I can understand a little bit of a gaffe. I wouldn't try to brag about it, just like I wouldn't try to brag to all your donors that you're gonna...
Yeah.
I won't demonize rich people, so it's okay to donate your money to me. Like, I know what you're trying to do. Be like, oh no, you don't like rich people, so why should I give you some of my rich people money?
Right. So that was another thing that Joe Biden did. Got called out for this week. He went on the record to promise his wealthier donors that he would not demonize the wealthy if elected, which is a really interesting comment to make, especially in this day and age. And I think these two things really highlight my personal issues with Joe Biden running for president. Joe Biden is the classic career politician. He does whatever he can to get things done the way he wants them to. Whether that's for the good of the country or not, I'm not judging that. All I'm saying is there's a lot of gray, there's a lot of shaky, there's a lot of weirdness and oddness in his career that, you know, maybe taken out of context to make it look worse, but nonetheless, there's a lot of Mars and things that don't look great for a political for a presidential resume. Whereas Bernie Sanders, who they're basically the same age and they've both been in politics for basically the same amount of time, you don't hear any of these stories. Bernie Sanders has been in the spotlight since 2016. None of these kinds of stories have come out about the man. And I'm sure somebody out there is hemming and hawing about the fact that, well, he's got this and that and the other thing. And you may be right, but you'd think that Fox News would have been all over that.
Well, they just take more personal attacks
Bernie
Sanders.
He's a dirty communist.
Well, basically. And they'll be like, oh, well, he doesn't like rich people, but he's so rich himself.
Right.
Things like that. So it's like you're trying to stand up. Like, you have nothing in common with these people that you're rallying to your side. You're some rich Jewish man who lives up northeast in cold weather.
Right, right. Yeah, like, I really like the one, Bernie Sanders drives an Audi. That came out back in like 2015, I want to say, which was supposed to be this whole big scandalous thing, and all of that is just the classic mischaracterizations of the right wing. That's all they do, is they try to manufacture outrage where it doesn't exist to smokescreen from the real problem.
Yeah, from the outrage that should exist and does.
Like, I'll tell you what, if you've been making $180,000 a year for the last 40 years, you can probably afford some nice stuff. I'm just saying.
Yeah, especially when your kids are out of the house, you don't get to pay for them anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how my mom's got a nice car now.
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
though I just try to make it feed me as much as possible. That's what I took advantage of Father's Day. I always take advantage of holidays like that to remind my parents that they are parents. And as parents, they need to feed me and give me things and be nice to me because I'm their loving, wonderful daughter. So I reminded my father this Father's Day that I'm his wonderful daughter by swimming in their new pool before they got a chance to. Good
That's
times.
Perfect. That's yeah. perfect. That's exactly how you do that. That's great.
So when you don't have leeches and mooches like me living in your house That's anymore, right. you can afford a...
You can afford the nicer things in life. You can afford a vacation home in somewhere that isn't Vermont.
Yeah.
You can afford a decent car. But it's I'm just saying that, you know, we have a lot of politicians, a lot of young politicians, a lot of new blood.
That's where I think the encouragement's for. Like, yeah. I'm Bernie's great. He's not my number one. Nope. I'd rather have somebody that I do feel more relatable to that I don't have to worry about. Mm-hmm. You've been in this game so long, so you might be worried more about keeping your contacts and keeping this longevity. Because if you haven't decided to retire now,
yeah.
what makes me think you're going to retire in 4 years after
this
is done?
I think... With Bernie in particular, this is where I think he is unique in our political system. He's been around for as long as he has, and he's always had and done and said the same things. And I don't think he'll change now. And I think the reason he's still in politics today is the same reason he got started. He still sees issues that need fixing. And I think the reason he's running for president is he feels this is a time that he can use to really make some changes happen.
Well, that's probably – is that what he thought? 4 years ago, too?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're not going to get into 2016 too much here. But I think the biggest issue that both he and Biden face is, yes, they are old hat. They've been around a minute. And we've got a 37-year-old. We've got 40-year-olds. We've got new blood, new politics, new people in politics, I should say, stepping forward, trying to take that leadership role. And I think that's more exciting. Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii is a very interesting person. She has a lot of cool things to say. And this coming Wednesday and Thursday will really give us a good opportunity to better understand who they are as candidates.
Yeah.
But with that, I think we should move on to something else. There's all sorts of cool
stuff. Do we have enough time for Iran right now, or do you want to hold it to the second half?
Oh, yeah. No, we got time. Well, we can kind of break it down. So
step one, Iran. Didn't mine a boat?
Well... Step one, John Bolton.
Step one, nuclear deal.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Thank you. Let's go
let's
back.
Let's bring it way back.
Let's whoop, 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 whoop. Let's rewind.
That's not that sound that makes.
I know. I don't care. That's the sound I made. Oh, no.
That's
God.
The sound
oh,
of my no. tape getting eaten oh. when I do that. I don't know how rewinds work. I have.
Do you want to try that again so we can isolate the sound?
I'm not doing sleeping anymore.
I'm glad you didn't catch that the first time. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and wind our clocks on back to 2015.
There was a nuclear deal.
Well, more importantly than that, Iran had been under great pressure from the Obama administration and the Bush administration before it. To basically fix a lot of the issues that it was creating in the Middle East for the United States and for the West. It was impeding oil trades. It was very anti-West and specifically anti-America, especially after our aggressions against Iraq and Afghanistan. So all of that kind of culminated with them very publicly beginning a nuclear research program.
So they could have nuclear power.
Correct. This is bad. Nobody wants this for a number of reasons, but most particularly Iran, number one, being an incredibly outspoken enemy of the West, as well as a huge supporter of a number of terrorist organizations in the Middle East. We don't want nuclear power or even dirty bomb capabilities in their hands. So President Obama pressured them into a really unique kind of deal where he lifted what was crippling economic sanctions, where Iran could trade with no Western trading partners, and anybody caught trading with Iran would be shut out, not only from U.S. trade, but also EU trade. So those are really big deals. So Iran was having difficulty selling anything to anybody outside of the country, which is bad.
Yes.
So the trade was this. We severely limit the Iranian nuclear program development. We let them continue to develop it, but under very strict regulations, regular inspections, full access, all sorts of crazy stuff. And in exchange, they could sell things to the EU and to the US, which was excellent for us, excellent for them, because they have a huge, thriving middle class, all sorts of production capabilities in oil and all sorts of other good things. Economically, a very interesting and very potentially profitable market to be in.
All right. So
we come together with this deal in 2015. It looks good. Everybody's happy about it. Until 2016. President Trump, being who he is, decides that because President Obama signed a thing into action, it needs to go away. So President Trump decided to back the U.S. out of the deal to fully reinstate all trade sanctions between the U.S. and Iran, and by extension, pressure anyone else who may want to trade with the U.S. out of trading with Iran. What this means is now all of the work that President Obama did to make that trade deal happen in the first place, and by extension, full monitoring of the Iranian nuclear program, is gone.
So wait, but why is it – what brought this on? What triggered them trying to cut ties with
– So that's the thing. In the research that I did this week, I could not figure out what made the 2015 nuclear deal such a bad thing.
So to the best of my recollection is – Iran was not following the deal. They were trying to develop things that they shouldn't have been, that weren't necessarily congruent with nuclear power. And we weren't getting as much access as we should have been. So they were pushing the boundaries of what was in the deal, and they had been warned and were saying it's
okay. Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is an article from the Huffington Post from May of 2016.
Okay.
So almost exactly 3 years ago. Iran breaches a nuclear deal in UN resolutions for the third time. They repeatedly tested long-range ballistic missiles and laser-guided surface-to-surface missiles. So, So here's the issue, right? Here's where I think this becomes really hairy. When you have a deal like this, where we give them a lot of things, a lot of potential to make money, in exchange for them slowing down on something we don't want them to have. This gives what a lot of people on the right would argue way too much freedom to an evil place, which I think is a strange characterization for it, but that's fine. Whereas the current President Trump plan is maximum pressure. Pressure, 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 pressure. And the question there becomes, which is better? A plan where it benefits them and they feel a little bit more free to violate the agreement, or a plan where we're doing the worst we possibly can, short of outright conflict. So they're just going to go ahead and do it all anyways.
Well, I feel like they were going to go ahead and do it all anyways. Just slower and more cautiously.
Well, that's
kind of like a North Korea situation where we're like, no, you can't do anything. We have sanctions, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. They just checked out some library books about it. Like, where there's a will, there's a way. It's going to get done.
Well, and that was exactly it. With the 2015 agreement, it was understood that we can't stop Iran from getting nuclear armament. It's going to happen. They have the technology. They have the capability. It's going to happen. The goal was to slow it down so we had more input in the program.
And now there's really nothing holding them back. They're like, what do we have to lose?
Yeah.
So coming to the negotiating table when they've – like their idea is like, what are you going to take away from us? Nothing, because you can't – it's hard. Right. It's hard to come as where's do we have like the Art of the Deal or something? Where's that book? I'm sure it's got to review
No. I'm sure somewhere it's there in it, but I can't bring myself to read a pile of garbage. But that's exactly it though. I think in the circumstance we have today, we're doing our damnedest. We're doing the worst thing we can do to them, short of invading, and they know that. So why would they care about anything we have to say in terms of slowing down on nuclear program?
Well, and that's where you said earlier, I think after we were done with dinner, that we stopped like a missile attack, something, what?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So let's fast forward to what happened a couple of weeks ago. Two oil tankers
were mining boats.
Well, yes. Two oil tankers were traveling through the Gulf of Oman, which is a very critical oil trade shipping route. Those two ships were attacked. They were strategically attacked in such a way as to only damage their ability to maneuver, but not in any way risk losing oil or leaking oil or causing permanent damage to the people or the product on the ships.
So wait, how do we know this wasn't Greenpeace trying to stop the oil trade while not spilling oil into the ocean? That sounds like something they would do.
I think because it's the Gulf of Oman, which is both a war zone and oil trade shipping route.
They don't care.
I don't think Greenpeace has that kind of capability.
What? You just need a boat.
Right. So if all you need is a boat, the question becomes, who committed this attack?
Exactly, because...
So what happened, basically, what happened was, within about 4 hours of these boats being struck, the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, went on national television and stated, Iran did this. We know for a fact this is Iran. They have taken aggressions against a Japanese trading boat and...
Finnish? Norway, something, yeah. Some Scandinavian.
Norway or Finland or something like that. So in no way is the U.S. involved in these ships at all.
We were nearby and heard some distress calls.
We happened to have an unmanned aerial vehicle watching these ships as they happened to be approached by a smaller boat and devices were loaded, unloaded. We don't know. It's a grainy thermal image.
Yeah.
But a small boat approaches one of the ships on film and leaves, and then later the ship has its incident. So from that, and apparently from the strategic nature of the attacks, this is Iran, just 100%. Now, normally, those kinds of conclusions take time.
Previously in the month,
yeah,
or a couple weeks ago, there had been other attacks on boats.
Okay.
So this wasn't completely isolated. I think it's probably been 4 boats this month.
Interesting.
So that's happened.
Yeah.
And oil coming from other countries, like, they've got motive trying to stop that oil because they can't trade their oil.
Right. Okay. Okay. Right. So all of these factors being taken into account, it's very – no one's saying it isn't Iran.
Except Iran.
Right, except Iran.
Iran's
but
it's not Iran.
The challenge is
– the Japanese are saying it's not Iran.
Well, the Japanese and the Germans said it probably wasn't. And somebody else. I forget who. But the point is our current administration just jumped on it. They were like, oh, yeah, it's Iran. It's Iran. It's Iran. It's Iran. And then immediately – upped the ante. They began applying further pressures, greater surveillance, etc. This past Thursday, the 20th of June, 2019, a United States surveillance drone was shot down by Iranian military. Now, the question is, where was the drone flying? The United States, of course, claims the drone is flying in open airspace, in an international airspace over ocean, over open water.
Yeah, it's like, no, it was flying over us.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Iran very specifically said and deliberately came out saying on Thursday, hey, we shot it down. It was in our airspace. We find that unacceptable.
That's all he said, she said. It's going back and forth.
Right. So this is where it's really interesting. Number one, the flight path can be determined. We can get that information. It's not hard to get. Here's what I think is fascinating.
What body is the one that releases this information?
I don't know. I'm sure the press can figure it out, but it's a DOD thing. I'm sure in some way or another, either local radar probably has some report on it, or the DOD has a record of it and they can verify it.
They're
right?
not going to release it.
Not
if
that
it
they're
goes
necessarily going
them.
To release it, but the information exists, so it can be determined.
That information is probably classified, where the previous fuzzy video was not. Those are that's what
it's,
I like.
It's all strictly need to know.
That's what flipped me out about the video, and I'm pretty sure I said it last week. I was like, how was this cleared and it became unclassified in 4 minutes? Oh, because it helped their point?
Correct.
Fun times.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. So all of this is very convenient.
I'm just super nervous because, like you said it, I didn't do this first. It was a comrade. This is a Cold War. This is another Cold War situation.
This is our Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
At least for this presidential term. Because the president went onto Twitter late last night and told this incredibly dramatic story about how the United States had a counter-missile strike planned, organized, en route. It was going to happen. And then the president checks with his military council, and he says, "So how many people are going to die from this counterstrike?" And I'm roughly paraphrasing the president here. A general told him 150 people will die. And the president, 10 minutes before the strike was scheduled to happen, said, "No, this is wrong. It doesn't balance the loss of one unmanned aerial vehicle against 150 human lives." That's the story we got.
Just wait until those upgrades for those robot sex dolls. And then I'm like, yeah.
And then the debate becomes, well, how many human lives is that worth?
Yeah.
I think, though, this reeks of the president's cancerous machismo. Because and there's some context to this that we'll get back into, but this very much has the same classic tropes that he likes to lean on, like he did with Mexico and the tariffs and border security. Oh, tariffs, we're going to do tariffs, we're going to do tariffs. You can't stop us. You know what? I came to an agreement with Mexico at the last minute. We're not doing tariffs.
And you almost wonder if this ever happened at all, or if Mexico was like, nobody's talked to us yet. What's going on?
Well Mexico except, actually came out and said that.
Well, Pence was down there.
Right.
Who knows what he was doing.
No, but what I'm saying is that this is, again, the president claiming a moral victory in a place where we don't know if anything was really happening.
Yes.
Now, here's what's really fascinating about the story the president himself has live tweeted, basically, from the Situation Room. Because Thursday, they were in the Situation Room for 10 hours.
I feel like that thing should be blocked from all, like, cell signal for safety.
It probably is. But the president got himself a Wi-Fi connection in there.
Yeah.
Because he's the president. No, but the point being this. Currently, we don't have a Secretary of Defense. We don't have one at all. This is the longest in American history with the existence of the Secretary of Defense position of it having been vacated.
Well, you know, that's how the president's cutting our government budget, is by getting rid of these superfluous job classes.
Yeah, nobody needs a Secretary of Defense.
No, we don't need a Secretary of Defense. Yeah. We don't need
George,
a press
George
secretary.
Washington didn't need one. I don't need one. No, but here's the thing, right? When military actions are planned well in advance, it is communicated all of the potential fallout, casualties being one of the first forms of fallout reported to the president, especially if he's the one making the decision.
Yeah.
So here we have a president who claims that at the last minute he happened to find out, oh, well, there's going to be 150 deaths from these things. And then he decides, because of this new information, he's not going to do the strikes. Something here doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And on top of that, you know, the lack of a Secretary of Defense, because if we had a Secretary of Defense, he would have shot this whole plan down before the president even heard about it. This is a direct military strike against Iranian defense outposts. That's an act of war.
Maybe we would have a Secretary of Defense that was like about that life.
He's really into it. That's what he's into.
The best defense is a good offense.
Hey, that's John Bolton. He's our national security advisor. That's what he's all about. He's all about the war against Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan and just take it over the Middle East with Christians.
And between them and our president basically vetoing any anti-war action our Congress takes against him and anything that they're trying to do, I'm very insecure right now about this situation.
It's terrifying. We are on the cusp of a potential new war in the Middle East.
Yes, a bunch of different fronts.
But we're not done in Iran. We're not done in Afghanistan. They haven't come back. We haven't left our occupation of those countries.
We've been giving more troops, like putting more troops up
there. Yes. And we have – and President Trump has very vocally said in the past that he is very anti-military action. He would prefer – he says this. We have to take that at what it is. But the man says very specifically he does not want military action. He's a negotiator.
Yeah, he's better at talking than he is at acting. That's what he's done for his whole presidency. He's talked a bunch of game nothing's happened.
Nothing's happened. So luckily
– okay, except I'll give him the Tax Cuts and Cuts Jobs Act.
Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that benefited all the richest in the country. Luckily enough, nothing happened last night. But the president began his day today with a Twitter tirade. And yeah, it was really, really out there.
Where was he yesterday?
What's that?
Where was he? I'm just trying to figure out what he had for dinner that gave him such a long poo this morning.
Oh. it was just his morning constitutional. That's what he does. It's his executive time. Excuse me. I can't find the music here. It's okay. But
told you to have it queued up.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. And I should have done, but I didn't.
That's all right. Okay. I forgive you.
I don't know where it is. I don't remember. No, we're not.
That's
doing
what
that.
It sounds like.
We're not doing that.
Everybody imagine in their head. Drama.
No, no, it's the goofy one. And I'm making that a ringtone. No, okay, so the president opens up his day. He starts his day with
President voice.
Hang on. Right. Yeah, here we go. So he started his day with a thing about the New York Times. I'm not getting into that at all. But this is how he starts after that. President Obama made a desperate and terrible deal with Iran. Gave them $150 billion plus $1.8 billion in cash. Iran was in big trouble and he bailed them out. Gave them a free path to nuclear weapons and soon. Instead of saying thank you, Iran yelled, dot, 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 death to America. I terminated deal, which was not even ratified by Congress and opposed strong sanctions. They are a much weakened nation today than at the beginning of my presidency, when they were causing major problems throughout the Middle East. Now they are bust. This isn't even English. On Monday, they shot down an unmanned drone flying in international waters. They were...
Sorry, it was flying inside of water. There we go.
Yep, there
that's
it is.
It.
Yep.
It wasn't like over, it was just in. That's called swimming. Okay.
So he goes on to say, I'm not doing the voice anymore. The president goes on to say, we were cocked and loaded to retaliate last night on three different sites when I asked, how many will die? Now, by the way, there's no question mark in that one. 150 people, sir, was the answer from a general. 10 minutes before the strike, I stopped it. Not proportionate to shooting down an unmanned drone. It's, yeah. And then he goes on to bloviate even more so. But, like, this is what the president himself is tweeting directly.
This explains why we don't need a press secretary. We have the words directly from the president's mouth. Mm. No convolution, no nothing. It's facts from president to my
yeah,
ear.
Yeah, sure. Facts.
Something like
we'll call
that.
Them facts. But again, like, this is... It's really bizarre. I almost feel like this is what it feels like to look down the barrel of a gun.
No, it doesn't. That's not what that feels like at all.
Well, no, in that there's something catastrophic that can happen very quickly and there's nothing I can do to stop it. So, I don't know if I'm scared, I don't know if I'm just accepting at this point. I don't know. And this isn't a you and me issue alone. This isn't just an issue for those of us here to worry about. This is the whole world right now is on tenterhooks waiting to find out if the U.S. is going to start another war in an oil-producing Middle East country. I don't know. It's totally wild that we have a president that has escalated the situation to this extent and feels morally justified in it. Like, Iran has provoked nothing more than it already had in the past. We had President Obama worked very, very hard to get that 2015 deal put together. And you know what? Sure, let's call it a terrible deal. That's fine. But we at least had access. We at least had some level of monitoring we could do.
Open line of communication, because now they won't even talk and negotiate.
We could bring them to the table.
But it's fine, because this is what we wanted, is somebody who would... play ball hard and fast and words.
Yeah,
and
cocked sports. And loaded, baby.
I feel like somebody's like, no, it's locked and loaded, sir. And he's like, I like cocked better.
Title.
It's like, I like cocked better.
Cocked better.
And then they're like, no, sir, it's redundant. If you cock a gun, it is loaded.
Well, you know, it's fine. It's not like he ever served in the military to know these things.
Hey, he probably read the pamphlet on it. It's one of those things they give you now that you're president. Here's your military pamphlet.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't.
Commander in chief, let's tell you how this works now. No, it's really, really, really fascinating. And on top of all of this, earlier today, the president was on record with the press stating a loose person. I forget what the specific verbiage was, but basically said a loose and stupid person.
A slut.
Jane, you ignorant slut. Jane shot down the drone. No, basically what he said is they had a rogue military person making a decision and shot down the drone, and it had nothing to do with the military. Despite the fact that the military took credit for it.
Slutty military.
General Jane, you ignorant slut.
Whoa. Boys can be sluts too.
Yeah. Jane didn't specify.
I guess Jane is a boy's name too. Yeah.
A man they call Jane. Yeah.
All right, so I will take Jane as either male or female, and they were ignorant military slut.
on that note, we're going to take our union break, I think. Facebook friends, don't you go anywhere. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. For those of you listening to the podcast, the original high-quality audio that you can get anywhere fine podcasts are sold, this will be just a moment. We will be back right after this.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition a government for redress of grievances.
And on that note, the One Man Revolution podcast is back. I am the comrade sitting in the host chair because the revolutionary is abroad, and we are joined with...
The Wanderer.
Hey, all right. We are back here, back from our union break, feeling freshly refilled on our beverages.
Yeah, got some caffeine.
Got some weird Greek stuff again. Thanks to the Canadian for providing us with international beverages.
And the comrade realized our lapse in judgment with not sharing our initial beers.
I'm jealous of my bears. I don't share my bears.
First, I was drinking MIA's Taurus Trap.
And I went with the... Oh, I'm going to get this wrong. Is it Blue Lagoon? It's not Blue Lagoon.
Blue Point? Wait, which way?
Oh, no. I don't know the brewery for the first beer I had today, but it's called the IPA.
Yeah,
it was Blue just Point. An IPA. Blue Point?
Yeah.
Thank you. Blue Point, the IPA. It's just a beer, but it's pretty good. I liked it.
Just a beer. When just a beer is enough.
And since we're here in the second round and we are talking about our beers, let's go ahead and get that going.
Because who doesn't like the triple fifth?
I like this high audio. I can hear everything, including all of my awkward breathing.
Yeah, you just can't hear us. It's fine.
What do you got in your hand now?
Goose Island SPF. I think there's still a couple more. I brought it. I like it. I'm drinking it. Anybody that doesn't like it can eat poo.
Well, we'll leave it for you. It's fine. More for you.
Yay.
I have the left hand Pichon or Python. We don't know how to say this. Pepper.
Ah, we looked it up, but we did. I think
it's like a weird TH sound, I think, for the X.
Yeah.
It's Pixan. It's just a classic porter, but with some
like a little bit of
peppery.
Spice.
It's got a little bit of peppery kick to it.
It's nice. Good. I liked it. I drank one. The comrade can have the rest, which I think is happening.
The Canadians and the Revolutionary had it, and they didn't know what to think of it. So there's more for me.
Yeah, we're just cleaning out fridges at this point before. All of us decide to go abroad.
Yeah, we will be out on walkabout.
I personally was born abroad, so I'm very comfortable in this situation.
Returning to your native environment.
Yeah. Being abroad.
The Revolutionary will continue to be gone next week. We will be back. We'll have a couple of other fellow travelers on the show. And then we'll see what happens after that. But in the meantime, we spent the first half of the show kind of covering some of the bigger news, some of the heavier hitting stuff. So we thought we'd come back with some lighter fare, some apps, some desserts, maybe a little coffee. Let's start with something local, something near and dear to our hearts.
Walls.
No, we have the ocean.
Obviously, that's not good enough for China. They need a bigger southern wall to keep out our drugs.
To be fair, I bet most of America would be very happy to have a wall along the Floridian border. Just cut it off.
No,
just...
that's not where China is. I guess this would be a western wall, which might help with earthquakes and tsunamis.
What?
And wait. Keeping the plastic out. Beijing says that because of the U.S.'s legalization of cannabis, us losing the war on drugs, they're being smuggled into their country. So I assume soon they're going to want a wall, a bigger wall, not a northern wall, but a southern, eastern wall to help keep out those drugs.
The wonder is referring to... a statement from Beijing earlier in the week,
yes,
in which they stated that the United States and Canada's attempts at legalizing marijuana is the reason for the incredible influx of drugs into their country in the recent months.
They don't like it. They're exporters. They want us to buy opium. They don't want our cannabis.
Mm-mm.
They don't need it.
Well, cannabis is non-addictive, you see, which makes for bad marketing.
Yes. There's no repeat clients.
But there is, and they live longer, which is better business.
There's no forced repeat, but they can also stop whenever they want.
They do have choice, which China doesn't want in their free market.
No. You rolled with that pretty well. I was bringing these things on you.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, yeah. I was.
It's like,
oh
crap, where's her mind at?
That's not where I wanted to go at the opening of this half of the show.
Okay, I'm done with that.
Totally
that
fine. It. So let's go from near and dear to our hearts in China to near and dear to the bunker. We are here in Central Florida. The president decided to make a surprise announcement. This past Tuesday, was it?
Yes, a surprise announcement that was planned weeks in advance.
Weeks and months and years in advance. To the surprise of exactly nobody, the president made his announcement that he would be campaigning for re-election in 2020. Well, maybe he surprised himself with that decision.
No, he's been campaigning ever since he...
He never stopped campaigning.
Yeah,
that's the real trick.
Which is a weird legal thing that what I'm pretty sure it isn't legal.
Yeah, almost certainly there's some serious issues with campaign law there. But that's neither here nor there. The president came to Orlando, to our hometown, to share the good news. And he had a rather impressive rally. He went to our local basketball arena, the Amway Center, which seats something like 25,000 people.
Yeah, it seems like enough for the 80.
It's a big venue. It's a good venue. The president's team was so excited to announce their ticket sales, which it was a free event. You just had to sign up in advance. You had to RSVP for it, with apparently no cap on the amount of people that could sign up to come.
No, they can just stay outside. They got screens.
They made an announcement that apparently 100,000 tickets were reserved for this 25,000 seat venue. And the president and his team, ecstatic. Can you believe we're quadruple booking this venue? How amazing. So they set up this whole big venue outside, speakers, screens, the whole shebang. The issue was this, though. The president's approval ratings in the nation overall, not great. In Orlando in particular, very low. Very, very, very low. Like 23% low.
But the people reporting that were fired, so how accurate could they have been? Nobody fires accurate people.
That's like all the polls.
Nobody fires accurate people.
But the theory goes that all of these people who – by the way, there was a very impressive anti-President Trump rally. I almost had a strike there. There's a very big anti-president rally the same day down the street. But the theory is all of these people who were against the president all reserved tickets to the event to prevent people who wanted to go from being able to get in.
But that's why there was no cap.
Exactly. Interestingly enough, it turned out to not be an issue. They had about 15 to 20,000 people show up. So there was still a bunch of empty seats in there.
That sounds good.
Which is kind of awkward.
No, those people are just going to the restroom.
But I mean, like, if you brag about having a sold-out crowd and then there's, like, you know, just walk-in seating.
Weather was real bad.
For an indoor venue?
Yeah, because nobody wants to drive.
People were camping in advance.
Those are just our homeless people.
They had nothing better to do, so they thought they'd get in some air conditioning for an afternoon.
Yeah, it's Paramore. Yeah. They camp out there anyway.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's not fair, and it's untrue. It's a great neighborhood, not with homeless people camping in it, even though sometimes they might, but they camp everywhere. Hmm. The weather's just nice, and they have lots of green
space
in Paramore.
It's Florida. It's never too cold, really. But the Daily Show with Trevor Noah was kind enough to put together a couple of highlights.
Oh, good, because I have no clue what happened at all. This is news for me.
Well, they wanted to break down the differences from the president's 2016 campaign platform and his new, shiny, bright 2020 campaign platform. So they have a video here comparing side by side the different talking points that the president chooses to target for his campaigns here. So I'll let that play for you.
Make America great again.
Make America great again.
The greatest theme in the history of politics.
Maybe the greatest theme of all time.
Drain the swamp.
And Hillary Clinton. Crooked Hillary.
Deleted and acid washed 33,000 emails.
33,000 emails deleted, bleached. Acid wash.
People are pouring in open borders. Destroy our country.
Deplorables.
Win, win, win. I will never, ever, ever let you down.
So we know the president and his family have a history of plagiarism. Did he just plagiarize himself?
He might have done.
They're like, let's type in greatest presidential speeches and just give it to me. And his people were like, if we don't give him his own speech, maybe he'll fire us. So they just brought it up.
No, but they gave him his own speeches again.
Yeah.
So
does he have speech writers? I feel like that's probably a job he cut.
No, he absolutely has speech writers. Yeah. Yeah. The challenge.
Is it Barron?
He does speak at a fourth grade level.
How old is he? I feel like it's better than that.
Barron?
Yeah. Is he like eight?
Well, he's homeschooled. Or he went to a charter school. Either way, he's way behind.
That's so rude. He looks like a sweet kid.
I don't know anything about him, and I feel bad for him because the son does not inherit his father's sins.
He's just getting all this black like Chelsea Clinton did, except she was a teenager, so she probably
makes it's even worse. Sense. Yeah. I think Barron's...
All the kids just get so much flack.
I want to say Barron's like 13, 14.
No, maybe not. I don't think he's that old. He looks too adorable.
It's with two R's. He is 13 years old, born March 20th, 2006.
In Manhattan. He could be my child.
Yeah, technically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He is tall. Oh my God.
He's gotten so big. He was like half that size earlier.
He is as
4 years ago, he was half that size. I swear. Everybody look up recent pictures. Now he's just a tall person.
This kid's 13. He is as tall as the president.
Look at the
first
pictures.
And the president is not a small man.
Look at the first pictures of him. Like, the initial pictures. Like, right? He's, like, grown 4 feet.
This kid's so tall.
I'm glad the podcast has come to this.
It's
amazing. Everybody listening to... Just imagine somebody your height, but bigger, and that's how he looks.
What?
I'm trying to describe tall to people listening to us.
He is a 6'3", 13-year-old.
What? That is nuts.
Yeah. The president is listed on Wikipedia as being 6'3", and his 13-year-old son is as tall as he is.
Melania is a model, though, so...
Yeah.
How tall is she? She's
Melania's probably 5'10".
No, she's taller than that. Models are taller than that.
5'11".
Told you.
You got me. I was way off.
Yeah, I was like, I'm like base height.
Way off.
Yeah. So that's where the tall jeans come from.
There we go. The president's not a short man.
He was not that tall earlier.
No.
I swear he was like 3 years old.
He's been in the spotlight since he was 10, basically. So we've watched him go through the explosion phase of growth.
Except we haven't, because he gets squirreled away, kept in New York, which is great. I hope he becomes a well-developed individual and doesn't plagiarize his own speeches like the president.
No. Or his father's.
Get it? Like, that was weird. I hadn't heard that. So he literally just gave the same speech.
Exactly the same.
Hey, but if it got him the job the first time, why not the second time around?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so I was listening to NPR on the way here, as I do.
Okay.
And they were discussing his speech and the fact that he's not saying anything new, really.
I was listening to Childish Gambino.
Nice. That's much better than what I was doing.
Oh, yeah. They said, like, he... what was the thing I kept saying is, oh, man, like, if like with this campaign rally, it looks like Hillary Clinton's probably going to lose it against him again. Like he talked he's more about Hillary than any of the other Democrats. Like it's just so irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, no, it's so here's the thing. He is doubling down, not on reaching out to the middle ground, to the people who have the potential to flip to him or somebody else. He's doubling down on his base. He is preaching to the choir. He is reinvigorating his cult of personality that he has developed
Isn't
over these
that
last
a song?
3 years. Cult of personality? Almost certainly. Mm-hmm. Cult of, yeah, yeah. I don't know if that's the name of the song, but you know.
Yeah.
No, but we've talked about it before. The president has developed a cult of himself. He has his trumpets, his
worshipers.
They've
got a uniform.
Oh, they got the hats. They got the khaki pants. They got the white polos. Tiki torches.
I just realized, yeah, no, that's basically his golf uniform, though.
Yep.
Huh. How did I not notice that in this past?
Yeah, I'm just surprised that his followers don't adopt the tennis outfit. I like the tennis look. It's a good look. The white shorts, the white shirt, the red hat. Yeah. That's
Maybe.
Uncomfortable. That's not a pleasant thought. but we'll get links in the show notes both to that video as well as some breakdowns from Fortune, who gave a kind of a nice point-by-point breakdown of his 2016 and, by extension, his 2020 platform.
There are fact checks that I didn't care about. Like, I saw them. Any article that came up at the rally, I was like, yeah, no.
Here's what's crazy about this. We've been harping on the president, his lies, his fallacies, his misdirections, his foibles since 2015. And here we are, 5 years later, or 4 years later, nothing's different. Nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. So it's almost not even worth talking about.
Well, that's why he can't update his speech, is because he's still going off of those same promises.
Yeah.
But you've yet to mention his new campaign, his new hat.
What's the new campaign? How does it look?
Keep America great.
You know what's funny about that?
I'm pretty sure. I'm like 90% sure.
So he did the classic, hey, y'all, what do you think of this one? Now, how about the second one, which always gets more applause? To the rally crowd. But yeah, the new slogan, keep America great. He dropped the ball on at the close of his announcement speech on Tuesday. He finished with keep America or make America great again.
How
yeah.
could you?
It doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
He probably came up with that slogan right on the spot. Wait, were there banners with it?
No, but it was planned. That was absolutely written into the speech. Written into the speech.
Keep America. How do you get CAG hats? It's not even CAGA.
CAG. Yeah, it doesn't sound. MAGA kind of flows. CAG doesn't. Like, it sounds bad.
Yeah.
CAG.
CAG. Oh, maybe they're going for that Bostonian accent, which is the sexiest CAG. Accent in America.
CAG.
That's some BS if I ever heard it, but whatever. Nobody thinks that. Mm. But, so.
Only Bostonians.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So that's about as much as I want to give attention to that.
Yeah, you can't even. Yeah. What?
We got a bunch of other stuff going on this week. What's going on here? We got. Yeah, you cover. Okay, okay. The Wanderer mentioned this one while we were on break here. Oregon, was having some interesting issues going on here.
It was the Supreme Court. So finally the Supreme Court has finished deliberating on what it was, Oregon Baker versus gay couple who were trying to get a cake for their wedding.
Okay.
And the Supreme Court has decided that it needs to be bumped back down to the lower courts because that's not their deal. Which is sad on the part of I think that would have been the defendant at that point, because the lower courts voted in favor of the bakery, except the lower courts voted against them. So it was like, nay, yay, and then bumped back up again.
Okay, so the Oregon Court of Appeals came to a ruling that the two bakers would be fined for refusing to make a custom wedding cake for a lesbian couple.
And then what went up after that?
And then that finding was vacated, apparently. And then it went to the Supreme Court, which sent it back down.
Yeah, also, so it was that vacated finding, which would have been bad for the gay couple, not what they wanted. Yeah. But the Oregon Baker, basically, people want this issue to go to the Supreme Court because they want to set precedent so that they can have religious freedom, which is funny because they're marketing, they say religious freedom, but they're trying to push it as free speech. Like, oh, like anything somebody of a religious denomination does is a part of free speech. So me not wanting to, that's what it was. They could have a pre-made cake, but they couldn't have a custom-made cake because the custom-made cakes are an expression of the baker. It's how they speak to the world through their artistry. I'll go with that one.
Okay.
That was literally their platform. This is free speech. You can't infringe upon it.
This is really, number one, really annoying.
Because Christians aren't being prosecuted in this country.
Well, no. So the argument goes that by being forced to acknowledge people whose lives don't match your preconceived view of the world,
yes,
is a violation of your ability to speak freely is insane. It's totally insane.
Well, but because they're saying them making a cake, like if you... That's them. That's how they talk, is through their cake. Like how a deaf person signs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can't make them sign with flair.
Okay. That's okay. Gay. I don't know about that, but
yeah, I'm making stuff up.
So here's what I think is interesting about this, right? If this was me in this couple's situation where I went to a bakery and they said, no, based on your lifestyle, we want to refuse your service. I don't know that I would sue them to make it happen because I wouldn't want their product.
Okay, and so there's a difference between just like regular, yes, I don't want to do that, and then there's people that go out and like lawyers go out, like civil rights lawyers go out and look for these situations because they're trying to make a change in the law.
True.
And they can only do that because you have to have somebody who was wronged. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like they can't themselves be like, this law is wrong. I want to change it. You actually have to have a victim. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for a victim. And so they could have, like, they'll put out ads for these sorts of things.
Right.
And somebody's like, yes, I went to a bakery and they said they wouldn't make me a cake because we were gay. Right. And so they're recruited, or if you want, like they could have, you know, maybe they're part of the ACLU and they submitted this, like, hey, we had this issue. Will anybody take it up? But it's not just, oh, I'm so angry and I super wanted my cake made by these people so much I'm going to sue them. It's that everybody's looking for these circumstances. The Oregon cake lawyers are looking for these circumstances to get stuff changed in their favor, and the civil rights lawyers are looking for these circumstances to try to get laws changed and the other way.
Yeah. It's, well,
this is politics.
Exactly. That's where this whole circumstance, I think, is for me difficult. And it's not difficult because I think there's a debate as to whether or not people should be served regardless of their lifestyle. You should never be refused service because of how you live your life. Unless you don't bathe, in which case you're dirty, go home, shower, then try to buy stuff.
But that's a health issue.
Correct. But what is a struggle for me is in a country where we live in a so-called free economy, right? That should apply not only to the consumer, but also to the vendor. Like I don't think anyone should ever be obligated to provide a service.
Yeah.
Because that's a form of I won't go so far as to say slavery, but it's a form of servitude.
Well, that's like if I'm a cake decorator and it's like somebody's like, I want a big penis cake, and you're like, I don't make cake of genitals. Mm-hmm. It's just appropriate and lewd, and I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Right.
I should be able to do that.
And that's where I think this is very wishy-washy, because that circumstance, I think it'd be okay.
Yes, because you can refuse – you can't refuse service based on somebody's sexual orientation, right, or race or sex. So that's where the line is drawn.
Right.
Which is funny because, you know, if you really don't want to do it, you're going to give them some other excuse.
Sure. Like, if you're like, intelligent.
We're booked.
Well, okay. So let me read you the story of how all of this stuff with Oregon actually came about.
I think that's actually what happened.
No, actually, it's better
not?
Than that. No. So back in 2013, a woman and her mother had an appointment with Sweet Cakes by Melissa in Gresham, Oregon, to go for a scheduled wedding cake tasting appointment. So they go in, they're chit-chatting, they're doing their thing. The woman who scheduled the appointment, one of the brides-to-be, selected the bakery because she'd been a customer previously. So she'd already had them, had their services in the past, and she liked them. So she went back because free economy, if you like a good business, you go back and you patronize them. So she goes in, they're talking, and one of the owners of the business, Aaron Klein, asked the woman the names of the bride and groom, at which point she said, no, there's two brides. Aaron Klein then informed them that the bakery does not make wedding cakes for same-sex weddings because of their religious beliefs. When the women tried to object, Klein responded by quoting Old Testament Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, which refers to male homosexual acts as an abomination.
Well, they're not males. Also, are they Jewish? Is this a Jewish bakery?
The reason I bring this up is because of a number of things. The primary one being this. If you are Christian, which is what I'm assuming of the religious beliefs of these people in Oregon because they're in modern day America. If you are of the Christian belief and you find homosexuality to be an abomination to yourself, here's the problem. Leviticus is in the Old Testament.
Christians don't – that's old.
Correct.
They're New Testament.
Correct.
They follow Jesus' teachings.
Correct. Nowhere in the New Testament does Jesus or any of the apostles condemn homosexuality. No. Homosexuality is condemned in the Old Testament, which is actually the basis of Judaism, not Christianity. So if as a Christian you find this to be not in accordance with your, again, preconceived notions of how the world should be, your entire premise is flawed. And you really need to re-examine the source of your hatred. And you can't use your religions as a crutch.
Yeah, that's right.
That's kind of where I wanted to end that particular one because
everything else is old news and reference
we've
previous
talked about
podcasts.
It before, and I'm so sick of this being a debate.
This is just an update.
Yeah, another example of
one branch
who
of our government's getting stuff done.
Who's that?
That was the judicial.
Oh. By not doing anything and sending it back to the previous.
That's their job, is to make these decisions.
Hey, we're doing things by not doing things.
They're making decisions. That's at least it's not just sitting on their docket.
That's fair. They're getting stuff done. But I just think it's funny that
they've ruled on some other stuff. Curtis Flowers is going to be like tried one more time, probably. That's just some bro.
Is that?
Curtis Flowers. That's a bro from Mississippi who's gone through 4 or 5 trials with the same prosecutor who keeps trying to get black people off the jury.
Oh.
Yes. So now this guy who's on death row can probably get one more trial where hopefully it's a jury of his peers.
Whoa. The Supreme Court came to a ruling today.
Yeah. 7-2.
That excluding black jurors in his case is a violation of the Constitution.
Yes. Jury of his peers.
Yikes.
And specifically making – like the same prosecutor kept doing it. So they found that there was enough mm-hmm. – there's a big enough trend to mm-hmm. – you know. So they're doing stuff.
Hey, doing
things
something.
Things are happening. Our government's not completely stagnant. It's not a mosquito. Oh, my gosh. Swamps.
Before we do that, can we talk about something else the Supreme Court has done this week?
Yes.
This one's really – there's a couple of things actually, but this one I think is really interesting. Oh, sorry. Not the Supreme Court. Just things happening in government because it's nice to actually be able to say something did indeed happen. The GOP-controlled Senate did a thing by not doing a thing. They have voted to block the president's Saudi arms deal.
Oh my goodness.
Which needs congressional approval to make the sale happen. It ain't happening. So that is I want to make this really clear. That's 2 weeks in a row now that the GOP-controlled Senate has stood in the way of the president doing his thing. Last week was Mexico and its tariffs, to which all of the GOP said, "Yo, no, we can't do this." And this week they have actually voted to block his Saudi arms deal. This is amazing.
That I'm happy for that, but like previous things. And I know it mentioned in the article, it still has to go through the House, which it'll probably be okay with. And when it does, the president has promised to veto it.
Well,
and there's not a big enough majority to overturn that veto.
I don't think that's how that works because it's not a legislation.
Nah, but it is.
Is it?
Yeah. Click it.
Three back-to-back votes. Dems and Republicans voted together.
It's good. I'm glad I can see our government actually working together on this.
So basically what was happening was the president was using his emergency war powers as a way to justify taking these actions without congressional approval.
Yes.
And they have decided, no, that's not okay. Also, the House did another really – the House did something this week.
What?
After 18 years, the House has finally revoked presidential war powers regarding 9/11.
What? Mm-hmm. Can you – I don't understand.
My understanding of the situation is that basically
– you can't find fake bombs and declare war?
Uncomfortable. Yeah, basically. my understanding, and this is from the limited reading that I did, is that following 9/11, Congress acted in the same way that the story of Caesar happened, which is Rome was ruled by the Senate. In times of crisis, they would appoint a ruler who would take control of everything until the crisis was ended. But Caesar never gave power back, and that's why we had the whole Julius Caesar thing. In this case,
I love his salads.
So good. Love the anchovy. No, in this particular case, the United States governmental system has the ability to appoint the president greater executive power to circumvent the classically slow decision-making process of Congress. So those powers, which were granted to the president following 9/11 in 2001, have finally been revoked, which is excellent. But I think that only happened because of all of the great abuses of those powers by the president currently.
So they didn't have like a – I feel like there should have been some sort of like sunset date on that where you have to reapprove them if it's still necessary. Otherwise, like you just forget. You're like, oh, yeah, I guess this is a thing that's going on now. Maybe we should address that. Well, at least that's one 9/11 thing that is actually going through. I still don't know if John Stewart's gotten anywhere legally.
So the committee passed it, but again, we haven't heard from Mitch McConnell on whether or not he wants to do his damn job.
Well, I literally heard from Mitch. Well, I didn't literally hear from him, but I heard from somebody who had heard from him that Mitch McConnell says they're doing fine. I don't know why he's all been out of shape.
McConnell?
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand Mitch McConnell.
Literally, I don't know why he has all been out of shape.
Well, it's because his shell isn't big enough anymore. He's swollen.
Not McConnell.
Who?
Why John Stewart's been out of shape about 9/11.
Why?
Mitch McConnell doesn't understand why he's been out of shape.
Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry. Totally missed that.
It's fine.
What's the joke you're getting at here?
That's it. It's not a joke. Is that he literally, Mitch McConnell literally said concerning John Stewart, I don't know why he's been all been out of shape.
Oh.
About the 9/11 thing.
You know what's so bad about that?
After the tirade.
The man has done so many horrible things. Mitch McConnell has done so many horrible things that I didn't even register that as outrageous.
Ouch. That is awful.
That's where we're at. Like,
he's all like, we get things done in time.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Why do today what you can put off till tomorrow?
Well, yeah, so according to a number of congressional reporters, with measures like the 9/11 fund, the issue has always been the game of politics. It's a hot potato, right? You have this measure, this funding measure come up, and a congressperson wants to add funding for X, Y, or Z project or some earmark or whatever. And it's ridiculous that they want to play that game, but they do it because it's a hot button issue. And how could you not want to support the troops or the first responders? You have to support the first responders. And also, I need $500,000 for a local farm in my hometown. It becomes this cancerous game where the victims of the game are these first responders to the benefit of nobody but these politicians' bottom lines. And it's really disgusting.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell embodies that mentality by asking the, by stating, well, I don't get it. I don't, why? What's the matter?
Well, if it's worked for the past 80 years, why stop it now? Hey, make America great again. We're going back to the
No. According to the president, it's already great. Remember that. It's already great now.
Got to keep America
great. Got to keep it great.
Nah. All right.
If only we could quantify what was great about
if
it.
We
I
could,
wish we knew.
No, can we not, though? Because that's, you know, how I feel about math. Math is fake news.
Well, math is fake news. It's boring. Nobody wants to read it.
And it's not even
real. It's not even real. it's the most real form of communication we have.
It's all made up. It's just numbers proving physics. It's science. Math is science. They just gave it a number word. That's it.
I don't have the cricket sound.
I know.
It's the worst. What are you doing?
I'm a bad soundboard. That's the reason I don't work in actual radio.
Why don't I have the cricket
sound? Nobody will hire me.
Oh, well.
I think that's it. All I've got are well done's now.
Yeah, I've got, yeah, we've got some kind of nicer stuff going on here. There's our, yes.
Yeah, let's do well done's before my computer dies.
Yeah, okay, let's do it. Also, I have power for you.
Yay, I got the power. You go first because you always have a million well done's.
Yeah, I got a couple of different things. This one is it's a well done, but not in any significant way. It's just kind of an interesting thing. In a recent poll, according to Sky News, half of Britons have voted rather have the opinion that the country should only trade with other countries respecting human rights, which is to say there needs to be some sort of moral control over where they sell their things and where they buy their things from, even if it hurts their economy. Which in the upcoming Brexit thing that's happening right now, I think that's a really interesting opinion for them to have. But
how do you prove somebody's against human rights?
Well, there's a lot of UN councils and studies and things being done to verify one way or the other if somebody is, or rather if a country's leadership or country is within the bounds of what is considered to be humanitarian or ethical. Like Saudi Arabia, which isn't.
No, that's bad. But
yeah. It'd be really hard to buy oil now that I think about it.
For them, yeah.
Just in, like, yeah, if morality was the guide of your economics, it'd be really difficult to buy oil.
Also, morality is so skewed. Like, it's that's personal. Mm.
No, I mean, like, let's make it really simple.
Well, like, human rights is one thing, but everybody's got different definition of human rights.
Well, no, but that's exactly it, right? Let's go with a basic guideline. Equal rights for men and women.
No, we haven't ratified the ERA.
Well, no, that's exactly it. It seems simple. It's a simple thing. You could really boil it down. Do men and women have the same basic freedoms? Okay? Saudi Arabia, famously, only allows women to drive as of 2019. That was a new thing that they did. Prior to 2019, women did not have the right to get a driver's license, which is insane. So I guess maybe not are men and women equal in all things. Maybe just do men and women have the same basic freedoms? I think that's a good place to start.
Roundabout, no. Potentially, yes.
Potentially. The argument could also be made that in nowhere in the world do men and women have the same basic freedoms. Like, not even here.
I think potentially, like, there's no law saying they don't. But there's nothing.
Just implicit bias in every facet of life.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's that.
Yes.
It's uncomfortable.
But legally, they're not being restricted.
I guess so. Unless you're a lesbian couple trying to buy a cake in Oregon.
No, because gay men would also have that same
effect
on them.
You are not wrong. You are not wrong.
That's a sex issue, not, well, a sexuality issue.
It's hairy. All of these issues are hairy. Well, and everybody needs to shave.
I'm pretty sure the majority... Well, maybe lesbians. not the gay men, though. Except for the bears.
And the otters. Is it weird that they do that?
Yeah, what? I was like, otters? Oh, animals.
Yeah, little ones. Little bears. God, I just said that. Okay. Well done.
But yeah, the fact that we still need... Ooh. We're still working on the Equal Rights Amendment, and it hasn't been ratified by enough states. Is a little
since the '80s. Yes. Like it's been just kind of on the docket since the '80s, and it's just been collecting.
I think are we still waiting for three more states? I found a thing, but it's got a lot of words, and I just need a something out of something.
Give me a viral sentence.
35 out of 38. Required states have ratified it. I'm literally making that up.
Okay. There was a glint of panic in your eye, and I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Let's do some well done's here. So we might have mentioned before, and we'll mention it again. Hong Kong and Beijing are kind of having a I don't know. Let's call it a fight.
When aren't they?
Well, yeah, exactly. When aren't they? But the most recent one being. Leadership in Hong Kong, the government in Hong Kong. Okay, so take a step back. Hong Kong is an independent city-state, if you will, that has its own government separate from the rest of China's government. The reason for that being that was the agreement made between Great Britain and China when Great Britain handed the territory of Hong Kong over. The reason this matters is Hong Kong has a form of civil rights, basic rights, like freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of religion, things like that. The kind of basic rights that we have here in the United States that China doesn't. And because of that, there's a lot of messiness between Hong Kong and Beijing in that a lot of things said by people in Hong Kong, published by people in Hong Kong, violate a lot of laws in China regarding criticisms of the government and leaders and so on. So... recently, the leadership in Hong Kong proposed an extradition agreement with Beijing, which is to say if China accuses somebody of a crime and they are in Hong Kong, Hong Kong would turn that person over to China. The problem with that being, of course, China doesn't have to have any evidence to be able to go forward with charging somebody with a crime. In that they can just say, hey, this person wrote a thing or said a thing, and that's all we need to know. We want him over here so we can try him for being a criminal or her. And all of Hong Kong was in an uproar about this. So this past week they had crazy amounts of protests, just thousands and thousands – sorry, literally millions of people – turning out for these protests in the streets. A third of all of Hong Kong's population was involved in these protests.
That's, yeah.
Buck wild. It's a one-man revolution. Well done to the people of Hong Kong for making their voice heard, for making sure their government represents them over greater political interests internationally. Well done. By the way, the Hong Kong government has since dropped these new laws, and it will not be entering any sort of an extradition agreement with Beijing. The power of the people. Did you have a well done?
Yes. I'm going to give my well done of the week, because I tried to keep it down to one. not that there's anything against it, but I'm lazy. To Nike.
I like good news.
They revealed their plus-size mannequins to the distress of many people, which is – it's really funny. Cause
the distress is funny or the plus-size models are funny?
The distress.
Yeah.
So people are like, that's bad. Like, that's an unhealthy weight, blah, blah, blah. Well, one, a lot of them are displaying exercise wear.
Nike's a fitness brand.
Yeah, so it's basically showing, hey, we have fitness clothes for you, which is something you want to encourage to help people get and be and stay fit.
Yeah.
And
it's all about that positivity.
Size and proportions doesn't necessarily relate directly to health. Yeah. So just well done, Nike, because you're making smart marketing decisions, so you're not idiots. business-wise, but also they're coming out as looking like good societal decisions, like you're open and accepting. Mm-hmm. Between the Colin Kaepernick and then now this, you seem like you're radical, that you're like with the people, but also you're kind of just real smart, because even if people burn their Nikes, they're going to rebuy them again, and you know this.
Yeah, no, the people complaining about Nike making this decision are going to continue to buying Nikes. This illustrates what you bring up is actually – it illustrates an interesting point of discussion regarding companies, brands, marketing efforts embracing social movements. – Yeah. Right, June is Pride Month. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of companies marketing their alliance with the LGBTQ community, and there's the cynics out there that say, "Well, how ridiculous! You're just looking to make a buck." Then there's my opinion, which is yes, they are looking to make a buck, and you can be cynical about it, but the movement is so great, the attention is such that companies find it better to take advantage and bring more attention to your movement than it is to ignore it.
Yeah, if this becomes commonplace, it's no longer strange or queer. It's normal.
It's part of a normal, healthy society.
Yeah, there's no reason for like side eyes or curious looks. Like, how could they do that in public when if it's always done? Like, why?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's wonderful.
It's normalizing these things.
Yes.
Which is something you want to do with, like, again, LGBTQ society and not violence. So, like.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's in any of these modern social movements, LGBTQ+, body positivity, all of these things, what I think is fascinating about them is nothing about humanity is new or different or has changed in any way. Our awareness of them and our societal structure is what's different.
Yeah, news travels further.
Yes.
That's all it is just news travels further. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We know what's going on in the next town over.
And 1,000 miles away, and we know it at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool. So well done to Nike for embracing body positivity. And you know what? Looking to make a buck. And also, hey, it's good business.
It makes window shopping easier because you can look and you're like, that would actually look good on me. Because there's some things you're like, I couldn't wear that dress. It's got it's just a box.
My body is not that shape.
Yeah, so it wouldn't look the same. So you can see it. So it'll also, you know, good marketing.
Next step is dad bod mannequins.
Okay.
Yeah, we need those. I want those.
Oh, it's okay. I support you.
Yeah, it's my beer habit.
Yeah.
I have one really excellent well done of the week, and then I have one that's a bit sarcastic. We'll see if we get to that one or not. My second well done of the week is this. More than 20,000 Christians have signed a petition to have Netflix cancel their new hit show, Good Omens.
How many Christians are there in the U.S.?
Well, let's take a step back there. What is Good Omens? Good Omens is a show about the end of the world featuring...
Is it the show about the end of the world?
Yes. Featuring a demon and an angel.
Yeah.
Right? So written by Neil Gaiman, the book is incredible, highly recommended. That's not the point. The point is 20,000 Christians, because this book was made into a hit TV show, they want it canceled. The issue is they have petitioned Netflix to cancel the show when, in fact, the show was made by Amazon. So well done to those Christians who have shown, not only in their faith but also in their day-to-day lives, their reading comprehension levels are truly abysmal.
I'm on like episode 4. I'm trying to get into it because I like the actors, but... It's got some good parts, but it just doesn't...
Read the book.
Yeah. You said Neil Gaiman. I'm like, oh, I got to get into that book. Yeah, I love his books.
Yeah. So American Gods, which is a show on...
I love the book. The show is hit or miss with me. Stars.
Stars. Thank you. I was going to say the cheap HBO.
Ouch. There goes our support. What is it called when people give us sponsorship?
There goes our endorsement with Stars. But so American Gods, which is another Neil Gaiman book, was made into a show on Stars, which went very well, very, very popular. Then they made Good Omens on Amazon Prime, to which Netflix has promised they will indeed cancel their hit show, Good Omens. So really, it's a well done to Netflix for responding to this incredible stupidity with good humor.
Yeah, well, they're going to get great. They're like, oh my gosh, Netflix listened to us so much. We're okay with them raising the rate a dollar this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet you none of those Christians are even subscribed to Netflix.
No, they probably don't believe in internet.
And my final fun my final fun note.
Those are the devil's waves. That's how the porn gets into your house.
I was going to say, these are the Christians that probably don't feel comfortable looking up actual porn, so they look up bubble porn.
What's bubble porn? No, I don't. Nope. Whenever I ask these questions, nothing good comes of it.
Google it.
No, I'm not having that on my search history. Give me the Rev's computer.
Oh, no, I'll Google it later. So the whole idea is it's safe for work porn. Yeah, Google it. It's bizarre. Anyway, my final fun note of the week is during the president's rally here in Orlando, he concluded with an invitation for everyone in attendance to come on down to Washington, D.C. for their 4th of July celebration.
Does he not know where that's north? That's north. Just because it's the South.
Come on down is the thing I said. Don't worry about that. He invited the people to Washington, D.C. Bring your flags. Love the flags. Do your we know what he does with flags. It's gross. But here's the funny bit. The president has already bankrupted the security funding in D.C. So if he wants to have an official event, he'll have to bankroll it.
He can't do that. He already donates his paycheck.
He already donates all of his paychecks. But he did get $25 million in donations in 24 hours. So he can just use some campaign funding. It is a campaign event. Every event he does is a campaign event. But yeah, I just wanted to get that one out there because he's a great businessman. He's such a great businessman that he's spending far more money than is budgeted for his events, which is just right. That's right in his wheelhouse. That's where he goes. That makes sense for him. But did you have anything else you wanted to throw in before we close up for the week?
Bubble porn is stupid.
And on that bombshell, I think it is time for us to end. This is the One Man Revolution podcast. We are here live on Facebook every Friday night. You can always find our original high-quality audio content wherever fine podcasts are sold, such as
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify,
Google Play,
TuneIn Radio,
and on the website at omrpodcast.org/wanders1.
I'm not sure if you were doing like an ASMR tryout there or
no,
what. But yes, you can find the original high quality audio content.
It's like when you say words and hopefully somebody will give it away if you're wrong.
Oh, I'm not going to give you that kind of slack.
No. That's why I just looked away and said my own shit at the end.
It is onemanrevolution.org/podcast where you can find and download the audio for free.
There's links everywhere.
But thank you for tuning in this week. As I said at the beginning of the show, the revolutionary is on his walkabout. He will also be missing next week. Hopefully we will hear from him.
He's abroad.
I'm the revolutionary.
I'm the wanderer.
I'm not the revolutionary. What the hell? I'm the comrade.
I'm still the wanderer.
Peace.